16. Luke chapter 6, 17. I had a couple, three songs up here, and I was like, which one do I want to do? That's my favorite one, to be honest with you. I don't know about y'all, but I like that one. Caden, can you come up here and pass out? Can you come pass these sheets out for me, please, buddy? Luke chapter 17 this morning. Thank you for putting up with the guitar player. He did practice some this week, just not as much as he should have, probably. There's little riffs and little chord progressions I like to do. And to be honest with you, about every song that's ever been written can be used with the same chord work, whether it be gospel, country, rock, R&B. It's amazing how simple the patterns are. You know, there's been court cases where some of these singers, like Ed Sheeran, had to go before court, and he proved to them he could play like all the top 200 or 300 songs over the last 30, 40 years and how the chord work works. And he proved to them that he wasn't, there's not an infringement, but these chords are not something that you can, I don't know how they want to put it, whether they make a patent on it or what they do. But the songs are beautiful. Yeah, well, the ownership is, the music is everyone's. It's just the lyric that becomes ownership. So it's amazing. All right, Luke chapter 17. Glad you're here this morning. And as we look at Luke 17, beginning in verse number 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It's going to happen. These offenses are going to happen. This teaching is going to happen. That's going to lead a lot of people into the wrong direction. And we look back at the world system of the first part of chapter 16. Then we look at the idea of you just cannot serve two gods. You'll either love the one and hold to the other, or you'll despise the one and you'll love the other one. It's, you know, the Lord Jesus says this is what's going on in the world. And then, of course, we have marriage and divorce mentioned in one verse. And then he brings out the rich man and Lazarus. You and I will either help somebody or we'll hurt somebody. And God help us that one side of us, that old, as so to speak, that old tomcat rears its ugly head. And you know what I mean by that. There are some folk, and there's parts of us that I don't want people to ever see, I hope. But unfortunately, that lives within. I'm not talking about being a fake. That's not what I'm talking about. No, we're all hypocrites, okay? I've always had people say, well, there's too many hypocrites down at the church. And I always tell them, well, come on down. We'll just add one more to the number. And that's usually the truth on that. Now, this morning, with that in mind, we have verse 1 again, as we looked last week. The things, the teachings, the rich man, he didn't think he needed God. He thought his gold and silver was going to buy his way into eternity. Well, that just don't happen. In verse number 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. You can offend people. If you're not careful, you will destroy your witness. Now, I do believe that we ought not be worried about walking on eggshells. We got to be careful with that even. Does it honor the Lord Jesus Christ in it? Well, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Of course, we know what that means. You've lost all your mind once you give that one last piece you got left. But this morning, we're going to look at a section in verses 3 and 4 with that in mind. So what happens if you do offend a brother or a sister? And when you get into verses 3 and 4, now he says, take heed to yourselves. Hey, observe what's going on. Behold, take a look. He says, take heed unto yourselves. Be cautious. Did you know that probably 90 to 95% of what we say in a day doesn't need to be said? Kind of like when I have somebody text me and I give them a thumbs up and then they send another text and then another text. I would never mention any names, Rachel Mills.
You know you like them.
Oh, yeah. I know it. Always. It's so funny to me. When I'm in conversation with people, there's always those people that think they got to have the last word. It's like, are you kidding me? Yes, you do. Anyhow. I love my little sister, but you got to give her grief once in a while when you can. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Hey, Brother Ray, that nasty Michigan hoodie you were wearing the other day offended me. And that's where society goes wrong. The very little things offend us. The part in your hair. How about if anybody's got a little bit of a gap in their front teeth? The gap in that. The offended one. You're not agreeing with me. And that's usually when people are offended. Well, beloved, I'm not going to walk on eggshells around you now. I'm going to do my best to be careful with what I say and how I say it. But there are times, listen, only the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to shut me up. There are some things that need to be said. And I will tell you right now, I will say them. I don't fear for people's faces. And you ought not also when you're witness or handing out tracts or whatnot. You shouldn't. But you got to be careful. Now, we do have the snowflake idea today, do we not? Oh, that offends me. Yes, Jesus, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came to divide, to set mother against daughter and daddy against son. The truth always offends the lost person. The truth always offends those that hate God. No doubt about that part. He mentions there, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. I remember I had some teenagers in the last couple of years, one of that played the piano, and I said, every time you come here, I want you ready to play the piano. And the second time he came, his sister played. And I remember looking at him, you got something ready? I told you, every time you come in. Of course, the sister thought I was rude, and he thought I was mad or I was mean, and they called me back to rebuke me. You did me wrong! No, you did God wrong by not having something ready. A pastor told you. Because I would much rather all the young folk get up here and make tons of mistakes with us. So that when they go off, they've got it a little bit polished. Now, I don't want it super polished. And the guitar playing this morning was not as polished as I want it to be. But then again, it's not Nashville polished either. But you got a talent, you ought to use it. Use it to the best of your ability. God gave that to you. It is not yours to hoard. So I got called and got rebuked. He says, you don't think I did? I said, no, sir, I'm trying to encourage you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you sure did it. I said, no, I did it in a way you didn't like. And that happens in society. That happens in families. You ever correct a child and they didn't like it? Mama, daddy, you offended me. But you'll be glad for it later on down the road. I guarantee you that. Rebuke is there, but even that, you have to be careful with that. That individual correcting you might have been right. And where you being offended is you're saying, oh no, I don't do that. Yes, you do. Stubbornness. Oh my word. And what gets me is stubbornness within insanity. Right? Folks trying to love on you and be a help to you, and you keep doing the same thing over and over again, trying to get a different result. Well, that's the definition of insanity. You have this problem. No, I don't. Yes, you do. Rebuke. Rebuke is should be there, but the principle I want us to see today is what we find in verse number 3 again. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now, in other passages of Scripture, we are to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for your sake hath forgiven you. Do you understand this? This is a principle I think I hope you get a hold of this morning. But until an individual repents, God cannot forgive them. But you and I are different. Forgive them. He mentions, and we're going to look at that in Matthew chapter 6, forgive us of our sin. Well, we're to forgive others. And I tell you what gets me is, even if they don't repent. Now, he mentions it here. He mentions that if he repent, you better forgive him. Because there's a whole lot of people that ask for true forgiveness, and you don't forgive. So what do? We hold a grudge against that individual. I thought I had seen an individual that threatened my life a few years ago, and I thought I saw this person out in public, and I immediately, my attitude was, oh man, I can't believe they wanted to. Here I am. If you think you want to kill me, here I am. And that's what I was thinking. That's foolish. Because if you keep holding that grudge, now you got a root of bitterness starting. And then when bitterness comes up, you're nothing but envious and hateful and despiteful and just meaner than a devil. And it changes your attitude. And then that spirit gets into your family. And then that spirit gets into the church house. And that spirit goes with you to work. That spirit's behind you in the driver's wheel. That's why we have so many stupid road rage incidents. I saw one the other day where an individual just got out of their car and he went to the back. Well, that individual in the car had a gun. That's your castle. Pulled it out, had it right up there, and had it on the dash. And that individual walked up, turned around and walked away. Oh my word, just leave it alone. There's idiots on the roads. Yes, idiots on the roads are just crazy. I know that. So go ahead and let them go. Get out of the way. Slow down. Do something different. Just get them out of the way because you don't know what you're dealing with. Our first lesson of the martial arts, hands up, stop, leave me alone, turn and run. If you can, run. People are crazy today. There's no doubt about it. And if he trespass against thee... Now, this is the verse that I'm struggling with. Now, I know none of y'all ever struggle with any Bible verses. This one I got a problem with. Lord, are you sure about this? Look at verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent... Thou shalt forgive him. In one passage, it's 70 times 7. But my question to you is this. How many of y'all are counting? Josh, that's one. So Josh just offended me once. Josh offended me twice. And every time, please forgive me. Then the third time. By the time I get to about 8 or 9, I have forgotten where we started. And I have to go back to 1. How do I know that? In the martial arts, we'll say 1, and they'll go to a high block. 1, 2, and then we'll stop and correct something, or somebody will have a question. And the first thing is, where was I at? 1 and 2. We go back to 1 and 2. And I know all the yesterday, he was on like 5. Yeah, well, if you hadn't have been goofing off, I wouldn't have lost my count. But that's what happens. We lose our count. Even if it's 1,000 times that day, and if that individual repents, you're to forgive them. Our problem is the quality of our forgiveness. It's not the quantity. But then again, we would get a little irritated. It's like Brother Ray coming all upset because the referees on the football field, they were terrible. Yeah, I know they are. They're human beings, and they're probably paid by Michigan State. I can relate. I still haven't got over February 28th, 1979 yet. Because the referees were paid by Coach Heathcote and Magic and Greg Kelser and Jay Vincent. I can tell you about most of them players are on that team. And they all forked over money so that referees of that game would allow them to beat up Larry Bird in Indiana State. Amen. I can't let it go, sis. No, I ain't going to let it go. I'm just not going to do it. 47 years ago. Shut up. It's my message. Brother Ray said he's got bitterness. Shut up. Catherine says, talk to God about it. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Now I will tell you, it's hard to do. The individual I saw in public that I know that they threatened my life, that's a hard one. Because I'm David, son of John and Becky Garver, who are two heathens that were saved by the Lord Jesus. Yes, their son followed their heathen ways. It's all their fault. When somebody threatens me like that, well, look, here I am in the flesh. But that's even a wrong attitude to have. Lord God, help that individual. So if they're not saved, they need to be saved. But here is another scripture truth that is very, very hard to obey and do. It is. There are some people that will purposefully offend you. And then there's others that will unknowingly offend you. No, a lost man's going to do what the lost man does. Cussing doesn't bother me. Some of y'all, did you hear that? That's what the lost man does. Getting around the bikers years and years ago. Hey, they didn't know who I was. But then later on, when we go back to some of the same groups, dealing with the hell, the guys in the Hell's Angels were probably the kindest I've ever dealt with. Some of them were true believers, but you wouldn't, if you saw them, many of you would be there, they're scary. No, they're human beings. Hey guys, here comes that preacher. Watch your language. They tell the ladies, cover up, here comes preacher. Some of the most kind men that I'd ever been around, to be honest, kind women for that matter. And the best way to get them to talking, that's got to be a new tattoo iron. Yeah, I just had it. Man, that's some really cool art. And I can't stand it. I'm not going to have it. But the thing is, some of that stuff's pretty neat. They're creative. Oh, how'd they get those colors in there like that? Those shapes and the detail that's in some of that. And that would get me immediately able to speak to them about the Lord Jesus. But this is another scripture reference that's really hard to do. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, we're mentioned there toward the end of the chapter how we're to pray for our enemies. I want to pray against them. I don't want to pray for them. God, go ahead, get them. No, it's Lord, would you please give the gospel to them? Well, he says, well, that's what you're there for. Oh, that's right. Others will hurt you and offend you. That's guaranteed. He says, in verse number 1, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come. It's going to happen. It's an impossibility if the offenses don't come. Why? Because of human nature, because of sin, because of ignorance, because of silliness. I definitely get tired of being the target of everyone's hate and foolishness. Anybody else feel like that? When you get around certain groups and they know who you are, oh, that's Karis Ashton. She preaches Jesus. She's kind of a Jesus freak. Oh, hey, and they put up with you while you're there. You ever get tired of being a target of everyone's hate and foolishness? I do. I am hurt by it. Personally, I'm crushed by it. And I'm disappointed by other people's sin. And what's the problem is a lot of times I'm not crushed, I'm not hurt, and I'm not disappointed by my sin, though. But I can point everybody else's out. Anybody else in here like that? You got a beam in your eye, but you're worried about everybody else's speck or little piece of sand in their eye. But praise King Jesus. I am forgiven, and I am washed in the blood. His blood. Not just some bull or goat, but in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Messiah, the answer of the promise. God's choice. God is the one that put him on that cross for you and I. My sin hung him there, there's no doubt about it. But that was God's plan of redemption. The world's system, would you not agree, is to be vicious. On Friday, I got a call in. Jury duty that first full week of June. And I just hate it because it gets me out of my schedule. There's other things that need to be done and this and that. I hope they understand. I got a nap to take at about 2 o'clock every day. Because I've been ordered by Dr. Jamie and Dr. Wickelpleck and Dr. Karis and Dr. Rachel and Dr. Terry and Dr. Josh and Dr. Ray. I've been told, Dr. Bensie, I've been told by Dr. Mona that I need to rest my back. And God forbid if Dr. Catherine gets after me. Right? Things get in our way. And I got to thinking about that. And I usually have my Bible on my phone or something, and I've taken my New Testament in a few times. And of course, if Judge Canada is there, I'm sure he and I'll have a discussion. It was funny the last time I was, it's a couple years, about 2 years ago. Hey, Reverend, as soon as I walked in, And I was like in chair number 12 or something. They started me there for some silly reason. And it was a case dealing with the possible guilt of a pedophile. Later on, I found out. Hey, Reverend Garver. Hey, Your Honor. Judge Kennedy, how you doing, man? And everybody's just looking at us. There's 100 jurors in there, and there's a lawyer over here and a lawyer over here. I think of, what was that, Reese Witherspoon movie? No, it wasn't that one. Yeah, it was that one. Oh, look, there's the jury, and there's the judge up there. All right, anyhow. So we're in there and whatnot, and the Lord opened up a door, kind of. I got to do jury duty, and I'm thinking this whole time, man, we're all guilty. So go in there and try to be a help. Later on, I did a little research on my own and found out the defendant was somebody I knew. And God just excused me from it, which was good. On the way out, Judge Kennedy said, hey, Reverend, rev it up. Yes, Your Honor. God bless you, sir. And I'm sure that was probably the most interesting jury duty that everyone else in that room has ever done. We're all... I later on, through somebody that lives in this area even, it was this individual's uncle. Thankfully, he was not found guilty. You know, beloved, this world system is vicious. Now, if you don't believe this, you need to get your head out of the sand. We are guilty till proven innocent. This idea of being innocent till proven guilty is garbage. Because if that were so, then the individual wouldn't have to go to jail and have to pay a bond or anything to get out, right? We are all guilty, though. We're all guilty of not forgiving. We're all guilty of having the wrong kind of forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive you this time until the next time. Well, the Bible says you're to forgive him even up to the next time. The world system is vicious. The world system is hateful. Especially in the political world. I've yet to see Governor Waltz from Minnesota handcuffed and taken to jail. And he is corrupt fraudster. This high-level individual working with Gretchen Whitmer. I haven't seen Governor Whitmer handcuffed yet. I haven't seen President Obama handcuffed yet. President Biden, President Elizabeth Warren... They're saying a lot of those electronic stuff Warren knew about. She was part of it. And what's craziest to me is people vote them back into office. Well, let me tell you, some of that happens in churches. The preacher even believes he's above the law. This world's hateful. Hearing of preachers embezzling money. There was a great ministry down in Lebanon, Ohio. And the pastor there had embezzled millions. The only way I can embezzle millions around here is if we get the monopoly money out. Amen. Hey, listen, beloved. Some of the things that I've heard over the years just shock your world, and then they get more shocking. This world is not only vicious and hateful, but it's offensive. You got to get over that. Moms and dads, I know you don't want your boys and girls acting like the world. But if they don't get out there and witness, they're disobeying God. Oh, but Pastor, I don't want them to hear that language. They've done figured it out. It's like a lot of things in life. We grew up in the farm area. Believe me, we figured out a few things. Nobody had to tell us. This world's offensive. So get over it. There are some things lately that have disappointed me, individuals with nose rings and lip rings and this ring and that ring. Why? Tongue rings. If only they knew the history behind it. It was like many, many years ago, these fellas, and kids still do it today, where they walk around with their britches halfway down their behind. Do they not know what that means? Oh my word. This world's offensive. But beloved, you're still being told to take the gospel to everybody, whether you like it or not. That's the great witness. Now, he does say, first of all, take heed. You better pay attention. Pay attention or you will offend. And it'll be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck than you to offend one of these little ones. Because they're watching. They're watching. And they're watching. Be cautious with yourself. He mentions the word rebuke. So I put that in the notes. So you can, let the individual know they have done you wrong. Hey, you know, you still owe me $50 for that. Got that right. That's why I don't loan money. I give it. That way I don't expect anything in return. And I guarantee you right now, loaning of money is few and far between. The main problem is that individuals rebuke with hate. Many will rebuke when they shouldn't. You ever had anybody tell you, hey, that was wrong? And you, oh, no, 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 no. Or you ever had somebody come up and try to correct you? I've had that happen so many times in messages. Well, you know, Pastor, you said this, and you know, that's wrong, and this. You weren't listening to a thing that was said then, were you? You were trying to find, and this is the problem in Independent Baptists. We try to find everything that's wrong before we'll sit and listen to a message and let God do the correcting in us. I will purposefully misuse the King's English to get that one that's listening for that to happen to get their attention. It's called pushing buttons. What are you hearing? If the Lord Jesus forgave you, don't you think maybe it's a good idea we forgive others? So in that, forgive when the individual repents. Hey, look at Luke 6:37. Let's look at some scriptures real quick. Luke 6:37, and we're going to go to Luke 11:4 here in just a moment. But come to Luke chapter 6 and verse 37 a moment. Luke 6 and verse 37. There's a couple places that this is mentioned. In Luke 6, verse 37, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Now, he is speaking to the Pharisee and the Sadducee here. There's a whole lot of people that are just very judgmental. And that is what a true racist is. A racist sees color before they see humanity. I don't see black and brown and white. I see an individual that needs Jesus Christ. And that's the difference. Let me say this very loud. President Trump is not a racist. But the ones that are calling him that, they are the racist. The one that has to always play that card, they are the racist. You know what's unfortunate, Brother Josh, is I've known preachers, Sister Mona, that were very, very much a bigot. And they tried to correct me. And I looked at them and I said, you're a fool. One pastor even says, you know, you talk different to me than everybody else. And I said to him, just plain and simple, I'm not afraid of you, sir. I don't revere you. You're wrong. Well, I've been doing this for this many years. I ain't about to change. Well, you know what? That's between you and God, not me. But don't sit there and correct me for witnessing to a black man or a brown man or a black woman or a brown woman. You know, it used to be so bad that the Polish would be upset with the Irish, and the Irish upset with the English, and the English upset with the Scottish, and the Scottish upset with... And that was amongst white folk. That's stupid. What side of the tracks were you raised on or come from? What side of the river did you come from? What side of the bridge did you come from? That's stupidity. That's silliness. That is bigotry. That is racism. But he mentions here, judge not lest you be judged, not, or judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Look at Luke 11 and verse number 4. Luke 11 and verse number 4. This is the Lord's Prayer in the book of Luke. And in verse number 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the model prayer. This isn't the Lord's Prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. This is the model prayer for the Lord Jesus. He didn't have to ask forgiveness for anything, but he was telling us, Lord, we got to go to God. But we've talked about it in 1 John chapter 1. Keep short accounts. God, forgive me. Boy, that attitude really was bad. Those words that I said was terrible. This was wrong. God, forgive me. But if we've been forgiven, and believe me, once you know how much you've been forgiven, you'll be able to forgive that much too. Mary was that away. Mary Magdalene. Boy, she understood forgiveness. Matthew, of course, as you come back to Luke 17, in the Matthew 6 passage, in verse 12 through 15, that is the main passage most folks go to for the model prayer, or they call it the Lord's Prayer, which is wrong to call it that. But forgive others. God, forgive me. We've always talked about this, and Pastor Charlie was always talking about it. Make sure that what's right between you and God is also right with His on the earth. As you look back at chapter 17 and verse number 4, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Boy, there are some people that are like that, are they not? So I want to finish this morning with just four simple thoughts. Number one, forgive no matter what the individual says or doesn't say. Just go ahead and forgive them. I forgive Brother Ray for wearing that nasty, cheap, fake Michigan Wolverine stuff. So Charles Ford was running for mayor, and Irvin was helping. Irvin Johnson was on the phone one day. Jay Vincent was there in the room. This is before he went to jail. Greg Kelser had come through that day, and we were all up there. Morgan was helping run his campaign and stuff, and I walked to Jan. I said, I want you to know I forgive you. Magic was on the phone. I said, Irvin, it's a privilege. It's awesome to meet you, man. But I'm still upset with you. But I want you to know I've forgiven you. And he just starts laughing. I said, I'm from Terre Haute. And he said, that's enough. I already know who you are. Forgive no matter what. And no, I'll never get over February 28th, 1979. Forgive no matter what they say or don't say. Hey, beloved, if they repent, you better forgive them and truly forgive them. But it's better just to go ahead and forgive them after the offense and just leave it alone. Because otherwise, you're just going to throw fuel on the fire, and all you're going to do is create an even bigger mess. Best thing to do is just walk away. Second thing I'd like to mention out of this passage is forgive and forget about the problem or the offense. Just forget about it and forgive it and forget it. The individual I thought I saw in public the other day that threatened my life, I should have already had it forgotten. But I didn't. Anybody else have that problem? You ever having a day and the devil reminds you of when you were wicked here and when you were wicked there and when you were wicked over there and you was wicked over there? Remember that? That's where that poem, My Advocate, and the scriptures come into mind. See, I have a mediator. His name is Jesus Christ. And he'll stand and say, listen, he's one of mine. He's under the blood and he's forgiven. That's when the devil's really messing with you. You know, the 3 hours every year that I have to be a Wolverine fan? You know, beloved, forgive and forget. Otherwise, you hold a grudge. Have you ever known people? Have you been that person that held grudges? We had one individual in the church, and he was here for many, 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 many years. Individual came to me one day and said, you know, Pastor, I'm really dealing, and I always have, with being able to forgive people and forget about it. I said, yeah, it's tough. Especially when people have done you just morally and mortally wrong. Pastor, can you believe what they said about me? Forget about it. If it's not true, people will know. If something's said about Karis Ashton, that sure don't sound like her character, and I know her pretty good. The problem is that some people will listen. Oh, yeah, I know. That person's like that. Just to fit in. That's stupidity. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. And then the next time you see them, you love on them. How many times a day do you mess up and Lord Jesus still looks at you and loves you? Forgive no matter what. Forgive and forget. And that's hard. But then thirdly, forgive and go forward. If you don't forgive and forget, and if you don't forgive no matter what, chances are you're going to say, yeah, I forgive you, but now you're going backward. People at the church house accidentally offend you. And I'm going to tell you now, I will not on purposely hurt your feelings or make you hurt. I'm not going to do it on purpose. Now, I might do it accidentally. And I've done that before. Young missionary many years ago, I don't remember where we were at, and the young lady said she was pregnant, and I said, well, praise the Lord, is that the dad over there? And it was the dad. And she was offended by that. Well, yeah, that's the dad. Well, honey, I'm not saying anything. Her problem was she was already ready to be offended by something or somebody before I'd even showed up. Forgive and go forward. Forgive and forget about it. Forgive no matter what, so you can go forward. You will never go forward if you're still carrying a grudge. You will never go forward if you say, yeah, I forgive you, and you're lying to them. It don't work. The last things. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, you got to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ who forgave you. So go ahead and forgive no matter what. No matter what. There's some times in my life where it's hard to forgive and you're struggling because the other individual doesn't realize that they've hurt you. Yeah. Well, my problem is, all right, David, you know better. Just don't let people hurt you. You know what I'll do in that respect, Brother Josh? I just don't get around people. Yeah. I don't. Because somebody going to offend me about something. I'm dealing with a struggle with an individual now that's just extremely disappointed me. And I'm like, Lord, where did I go wrong? David, you didn't go wrong. You taught right. It's just the individual's choosing wrong. This morning, beloved, forgive and forget. The Lord Jesus did. The Bible says He's throwing your sin behind His back. As far as east is the east and west is the west. In the deepest sea. I heard a bold preacher talk about you want to lose your salvation, you're going to have to go behind God's back. Then you're going to have to go as far as east is the east and west is the west. And then you're going to have to dive into the deepest part of the ocean. And if you can handle all that, then you can get your sin back and tell God you don't want it no more. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of glad He forgave me the more Bible I read. Whether it be His warning of judgment and condemnation, or hallelujah for the promise of the blessing of eternal life. Oh, the blessing to see the crystal sea, to see the rainbow behind the throne, to see the throne. Wonderful. But to see the One with nail-scarred hands, wide open. That'll help you more than you know. And because of that, you'll be able to forgive. Even when people don't repent. I know you're saying right now, then Pastor, you need to forgive our Michigan State Spartans for winning in 1979. Okay. You could possibly be right. I know you're going to say, Pastor, your Cubs won 10 games in a row, lost a game, won 10 games in a row, and now they've lost like 8 or 9 in a row. I know it. I got to try to forgive them. But I'm a fair weather fan. And in that one person that breaks your favorite shovel, oh, forgive me. Then that individual that breaks your favorite knife. Then that individual that causes you to fall and you don't need to be fallen. Then that individual that leaves the eggs out in the car and it's in heat. I did that one time. We'd gotten some fresh eggs at Sam's or Costco and I left them in the back of the car. And was it the next day I went out there and there they were. And it had been 90 degrees that day. I was like, oh, Jamie let me back in the house and she forgave me. But I shrimped, hey, beloved, it's tough to do it. But you got to forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Lord, why'd you bring me to Lansing when I could be on the beaches of Pensacola in my Speedo? Because David, there's some people in Lansing that need to learn how to forgive and forget. Yes, sir. Forgive and forget. Father, help us to handle this truth. It's a tough one, Lord. Please, Lord, help my heart be like that. There's some individuals in my life that have just disappointed me, and I'm trying to just see it from their perspective and to do right. But Lord, help me to see it from your perspective and to have the same love and compassion, the mercy and the grace that you have in that. Please. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you stand to your feet with every head bowed and every eye closed, if God's dealing with your heart this morning, would you let Him? Would you let Him deal with your heart this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed as you stand to your feet. Are you having a hard time forgiving? Wait a minute. Do you need to go get forgiveness? I'm not going to do it. Maybe you need to go to an individual and say, please forgive me. That might be something that needs to be done by you. But you don't understand. I've not done anything wrong. Well, there's no human that can ever say that. Maybe you've wronged somebody. It'd be a good morning. Come down here and say, Lord, help me. Right where you're standing, Lord, help me. Help me to gain forgiveness. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. God's dealing with your heart. You come on, Christian. No one comes in a moment with any invitation. God's in with your heart. Would you come on? Amen. If you look this way, hey, beloved, forgive me for horrible guitar playing this morning. No, it was bad. It was just bad. I'm going to have the boys play bass from now on so I can play more guitar. Happy Memorial Day to everyone. If you get a chance, thank a soldier. I'm so thankful for him. Yeah. I know Mom was going by Dad's when I talked to her. And I know that Jamie's dad, too. Y'all pray for Connie, Mama Connie, please. And pray for Mama. Their health isn't the best either. There's a number of people to be praying for in that regard. And remember our buddy Scotty. Brother Scott needs prayers for Wednesday. Boys, you're traveling back today? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? Good. They're out on their own. Away from Dad. Father, I love you. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being right here in the middle. Thank you for loving us, Lord Jesus. Help us to forgive and forget. In your holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.